a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
What does God promise to give Israel and the Jewish people in the future? Well, good morning and welcome to the Word for Life broadcast. We're broadcasting from the beautiful studios right here at Brookside Baptist Church on Pilgrim Road in Brookfield. And we certainly heartily encourage you to give a visit here and potentially consider joining us here on a permanent basis at Brookside. We have excellent preaching, studying of the Word of God, verse by verse, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We have wonderful different Bible studies on Wednesday night. We have different things for all ages, specifically on Wednesday and then other days of the week. Just a wonderful place to bring your family up and to enjoy great fellowship with other Christians and, of course, to hear the Word of God preached every single week. My name is Richard Schmidt. I'm with Prophecy Focus Ministries. My home church is indeed Brookside Baptist Church, where I love to attend. And if you'd like to see what we're up to, you can see us at www.prophecyfocusministries.com. My wife and I travel all over the country, do seminars, conferences, fill in at churches, no matter how big or small. We're not concerned about resources. We come on a volunteer basis, if you will, and we'd love to come and teach the prophetic word in your church. You can go to our website and, once again, at Prophecy Focus Ministries and see what we're up to and what we offer and some of our resources and so forth. Well, we've been looking at on the last several broadcasts regarding the covenants that God has specifically made with the people of Israel. I invite you to tune in the next two broadcasts because we're also going to look at the specific promises that God has made to the church age saints. But today we want to go back one more time and look at the fourth major promise or covenant that God made with Israel or the Jewish people. This covenant is what's called the New Covenant, and it's found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Now, what covenants have we looked at? We've looked at the Abrahamic covenant back in Genesis. We looked at the land covenant in Deuteronomy. And we've looked at the Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 8 to 16. All three of those covenants specifically dealt with Israel, the land of Israel, and the Jewish people. Well, the new covenant is no exception. And I'm going to read a couple of the verses to you, and then we're going to look at the promises that God specifically made with the people of Israel. Now, let me make it very clear. There are those that believe that Israel is not the one that will inherit the promises that God said are indeed for the people of Israel and the house of Judah, that somehow God retracted that promise to those people and somehow has transferred it to Christians. Well, may I say that that is unequivocally not what the scriptures teach. And of course, we always want to speak the truth in love, and I indeed love my other Christian brethren that hold that particular view, but there's no scripture to substantiate it. You say, how can you say that? Well, here's the issue. Those that believe that God has transferred those promises to the church, there is nowhere in scripture that states that. What you have to do is take the Bible, and instead of taking it word for word, literally, that's the key word, literally, as God spoke it, you have to basically allegorize or spiritualize the text, which basically means you put in there what you want to put in there. Well, that's not a good way to interpret the Bible. God said what he said, he meant what he said, and he never changed what he said, and he certainly did not revoke his promises that he gave to our Jewish friends and to the nation of Israel. So when we read this, let's read it as God wrote it, not attempt to spiritualize or allegorize it or make it something based on our experience, but to go specifically to what God stated. By the way, do you know what's very interesting that in Scripture, and I actually looked it up, that the word experience is never used in the New Testament. In other words, God isn't interested in our experience or what we think he should do. God made it very clear in his authoritative word, his unchanging word, his infallible, inerrant word, that what he stated is exactly what he meant to state. Now, obviously, there are those that disagree with that. God bless you. We still love you. But you must understand that when the Bible says something, we have to take it at what it says. So what does God say? Jeremiah 31, verse 31. That's easy, 31, 31. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." I'm going to stop there for a minute. Basically, what God's stating here is he had made a previous covenant with Israel known as the Mosaic Covenant. You remember the story back when Israel was in Egypt. God delivered the people from Egypt. They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness, which is when Moses was given the Mosaic Law. By the way, most people say, well, the Mosaic Law, that means the Ten Commandments, right? No. It includes the Ten Commandments, but the entire Mosaic Law consists of over 630 commandments. You say, well, wow, how come we only know about 10? Well, the 10 are very easy to remember, if you will, and they're outlined in Scripture, but there's another 620-plus commandments that are spread out throughout the first five books of the Bible, which is where the law, the Mosaic Law, is recorded. So very interesting. But let's go back to the text. He said, "I wrote a new covenant, not like the old one, not like the Mosaic Law," which, by the way, the Bible made very clear no man could fulfill. It was impossible to keep the law because man is a sinner by nature, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. So here are the promise, the new promise that God made specifically with Israel, or the Jewish people. And here's what he says in chapter 31 of Jeremiah and verse 33. "But this is the covenant that I will make," he spells it out again, "with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord." And here's what he's promised, seven different things. One, "I will put my law in their minds." And two, "write it in their hearts." Number three, "and I will be their God. And they," number four, "shall be my people." Number five, "no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me." Now, wait a second. Have you ever known a time in this world, in history, when every single person knew the Lord and followed him? The answer is absolutely, unequivocally, has never taken place. But God says this day is coming when the Jewish people will know God and will serve him, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. Sixth promise, "for I will forgive their iniquity." And number seven, "and their sin I will remember no more." Now, these are promises that God specifically gave to the Jewish people, those that will inhabit the land of Israel, a new covenant. Now, if you recall back in the day when Jesus was crucified, Jesus made it very clear that he was setting up a new covenant that would be sealed with his body and with his blood. In fact, many of us still, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we on Sundays will occasionally, or some people do it every single week, have what's called communion or the Lord's Supper. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we'll take a little piece of bread and a little cup of grape juice, and we will eat and drink that in remembrance of what Jesus did, in remembrance of that new covenant that God sealed at that time through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But let's be very specific here. The totality, the literal fulfillment of this covenant that God made with Israel and Judah back in Jeremiah 31, that has not come to pass yet. You say, when will it come to pass? Well, that's a great question because Scripture does outline it. When will the Jewish people be restored to their land? When will they get the entirety of their land? When will they get the blessings that God stated will take place here? I can guarantee you right now that there are over 16 million Jewish people in the world. Only 6 million of them, or a little bit more than that, reside in Israel. Another close to 6 million Jewish people live right here in the United States, leaving another 4 million Jewish people scattered throughout the known world. Well, God talked about it in the other covenants we looked at, the Abrahamic covenant, the land covenant, the Davidic covenant, and now the new covenant that God would restore the Jewish people to their land. In 1948, when Israel became a state again, is when this migration of Jewish people started to take place back to the land. But have they all returned yet? The answer is no. Have they all turned to God? The answer is no. Will that literally, not spiritualized, not allegorized, not I think so, will it literally come to pass? Well, according to those four major covenants and according to the new covenant, all of the Jewish people at one specific point in time will indeed turn to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the commandments, if you will, the laws, if you will, Jesus, if you will be written on their hearts and in their minds. And every single one of the Jewish people will know who Christ is. Well, when's that going to happen? That's a great question. Let's very briefly again look at God's prophetic calendar. The next major event on God's prophetic timetable is what is called the rapture, or the removal of the Christians. Christians started to form after the cross. For the first 2,000 years of history, Genesis chapter 1 through Genesis chapter 11, there were only Gentiles. In Genesis chapter 12, God brought on Abraham on the scene. Abraham begot Isaac, who begot Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And from Genesis 12 up through approximately the first couple chapters of Acts, we had Gentiles and Jews. Well, then after the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, shortly thereafter, the church started, or Christians formed. So first 2,000 years of history, only Gentiles, 4,000 BC to 2,000, from 2,000 to the cross, another 2,000 years, Gentiles and Jews. And then after that, from the cross until the present time, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians have been on the scene. The next major prophetic event, God said, those Christians that started shortly after the cross up until the rapture will be removed. Then we go back to the Old Testament prophetic timetable. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, specifically verse 27, outlines that there will be a seven-year tribulation period, basically cleansing the earth, preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ, found in Zechariah 14, first several verses, and Revelation 19, when Jesus returns to this earth. Shortly thereafter, after he returns, the Battle of Armageddon takes place, and then Jesus sets up his 1,000-year millennial kingdom, literal kingdom. You say, where do you get that from? Glad you asked. Go to Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 7, and the word 1,000 is mentioned six times. Now, that's God's prophetic timetable. Now, let me ask you very quickly. First of all, how do you treat our Jewish friends? I trust it's with respect. God said he'll bless those who bless Israel and he'll curse those who curse Israel, according to Genesis chapter 12 in the Abrahamic covenant. But more importantly, where do you stand with Jesus Christ today? Is he your Savior? Have you realized you're a sinner bound for hell? Have you realized that Jesus Christ came down from heaven, died on an old cross to pay for your sins? We just celebrated Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why is that important? Because God's Son came down from heaven, died on an old rugged cross for your sins. If you'd simply trust in him, you too can be part of that wonderful event that will one day take place when God removes us from this whole sinful, cursed world and takes us home to be with him. What will you do with Jesus today?
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.